Lord, we're so thankful to be here today and for your many blessings, and thankful for all the fathers and all the dads that are seeking you this morning. Father, I pray now that as we open up and study your word, that we'd find comfort, we'd find encouragement and peace. Lord, that you might strengthen each and every one of us this morning that we're struggling, problems, that you just wrap your arms around us and show us your love. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So where I'd like to begin at today is Luke chapter 22. It's a Father's Day message, but it's for everybody, okay? And I just pray the Lord will use it for each and every one of us this morning. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, I was really thinking about this because I was thinking about so many people in the world, it seems like, and friends and family, and it just seems like Satan is sifting them right now. He's doing everything he can to shake their faith, to hurt them, to destroy them, to make them turn back. I don't know if any of you feel like you've been sifted lately, but I think some of you have, and I know in my life, I've had a bad week. I've just, one thing after another, after another, after another. And I told Crystal, I was like, I just want to cry. You know, I was being silly, but it's just, you know, it's just been one of them weeks. And, you know, sometimes when you're going through things and you don't feel good or there's problems or whatever, and it just seems like, God, where are you? And maybe, you know, we don't understand fully what's going on in the spiritual realm, and we don't fully understand that Satan wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy me, and he wants us to lose our faith and lose our passion and lose our desire to seek God daily. And I wonder how many of us you feel like you're being pulled in different directions, and there's maybe problems at work and or problems at church or problems at home or problems with your kids or maybe just busyness of life. And I usually have all these statistics for Father's Day and Mother's Day stuff, and I looked up a bunch of stuff, but I just didn't feel like it was for today. But I will tell you, one of the things that I seen was that for fathers and their kids, it says that busyness of life is really pulling dads away. Pulling dads away from being husbands, pulling dads away from being fathers, because they're so busy with work, they're so busy with what they need to do. And you know, and I thought when my kids got to a certain age, that I'd have more time, and sometimes I do. You know, I remember what it's like running from this ball field to that ball field, and one plays on Monday and Thursday, the other on Tuesday and Friday, and you were so busy, and you're like, when am I ever going to get a break? And now that my kids are grown, and I don't have running to this ball game and running to that ball game, but you know what? I'm still busy. I was mowing in the dark the other night, and Crystal said, does your mower have lights on it? I said, no. Grass was high enough I was able to follow the lines, you know, in the dark. But just busyness of life. And I wonder how many of us, we're so busy and our lives are go, go, go. And we can see it this morning by the people that are gone this morning for vacation, I understand, but at some it's just busyness. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I wonder how many of you have felt like Satan's just sifting you, and how many of you have run to something other than God. He says, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you ever been exhausted and you just can't wait to get in bed? And when you finally get in bed, what's it feel like? Oh. You know, there's been times that I've had such a rough day, and it's like as soon as I got to my bedroom and seen that bed, just this peace and comfort come over me. Oh, I can lay down. I can go to sleep. I'm just so exhausted. Oh, God, our Heavenly Father is saying, come to me, and I want to give you that rest. Sometimes it's hard to admit. Sometimes it's hard, especially for men and dads, it's hard to admit that you're tired, that you're worn out, that you're burdened. Sometimes it's hard for us to say, I need help. But our Heavenly Father is saying, come, come. You know, sometimes it seems like that we're so resistant and so reluctant to run to God. And I wonder how many even feel like church and God can be a burden. You think it's not true? It's true. Oh, I've just got so much going on, I can't make it to church. Prayer meeting? Who's got time for prayer meeting? A men's group? Who's got time for that? I know some of y'all, you're awesome, and you're on your computers, and you're doing Bible studies with people all over, and home groups from your computer due to this COVID, but there's many of us that I feel like that even church has become a burden. I gotta go. Anybody ever felt that way? I guess I better get up and go. It's the right thing to do. And God's saying, come to me. Come! If you're weary and burdened, come! And we're going, oh, it's just another thing to do. It's something else I've got to do. And sometimes we treat our Heavenly Father who wants to give us rest like a burden, like something else to do. And I believe it's Satan just sifting and sifting and sifting and making it look like the church is a burden when the church should be our refuge. When God is our refuge and He's our strength. And this should be a hospital, so to speak, to where we come when we're weary and we're burdened and we find strength and we find encouragement from our brothers and sisters. And our Heavenly Father is here saying, come, come, come. And we're going, I've got 1 hour, and then I've got this and this and this to do. Pete, you better not go long. Cut them songs back a little bit. Come on, we got things to do. And we don't look at it as a place to come. Brooke was saying when Lincoln broke his arm the other night that they were in the emergency room for hours and hours waiting. Well, why were they there? Because his arm was broke. He needed help. They didn't enjoy sitting in an emergency room for hours. But he needed to see that physician to reset that bone. So they sat and they waited patiently. Well, they waited. till he could be looked after. Why? Because he needed it. Y'all think about that with God. We want to say a quick prayer and say, God, fix everything. We don't want to wait patiently. We don't want to wait for God to move. We don't want to wait for that answer. We're in such a hurry. Our lives are so busy that it's become a burden to come to church, to open our Bibles, to seek God, to pray, to read our devotional, when it's all those things that is what we really need. Whether you're being sifted or not, those are the things that we need. That's our physician. That's the help that we need when we're struggling, when life's falling apart, when you're being pulled in every direction. How many times do you just stop and you just pray and you say, God, help me, because You are my refuge. You are my strength. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God's not a liar. God can never lie. And this morning He's saying, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God said, I'm here with you. So don't fear. Don't be dismayed. I'm right here to strengthen you. I'm right here to help you. And I know this is Father's Day, and so it is kind of targeted at dads, but it's also targeted at everybody else in this room, that God's here to help us. God's here to be our strength. And so especially dads who were called to lead our home, we're called to be the spiritual leaders in our households, of our wives, of our children. And you know what? Sometimes we need to understand when life's pulling us apart, when we're being sifted, that we need to run to Jesus and allow His strength to flow through our lives so that we can be the leaders, so that we can be the men of God that He's called us to be. I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." I love that. You know, how often do we say, "Oh, living for God's just too hard"? Why is it hard? Because you have to resist the flesh? Because you can't go along with what the world has to offer? But here He's saying that it's not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. What He's asking is not that. It's not that. Verse 12 says, "It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it." You know, sometimes I think it's the sifting taking place, as I get to feeling like I'm not doing enough. Sometimes I get to feeling guilty about not doing more. And so really, I've just started this in recent weeks, is every day praying, "God, what you would have me do, put in front of me. That's all I can do, God, and help me to be obedient when I see what you're asking me to do. I can't conquer the world unless the Lord puts it in front of me, right? I can't do anything unless He places it in front of me, and then I'm willing to obey and listen to what the Lord is leading me in my heart and act in obedience. See, sometimes we make it so difficult and so big and so enormous, and God's just saying, "I just want you to obey me. I just want you to do what's right, what I place in front of you." Verse 15, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." So, okay, life and prosperity, death and destruction. Who's choosing death and destruction? Nobody. Nobody, right? Right now, if I said, "Hey, everybody sitting on this side, death and destruction's coming to you. Everybody sitting on this side, life and prosperity's coming to you," I bet everybody get up and move. Nobody wants death and destruction, but how often is that what we're led into? We're led into with the things of this world, the desires of the flesh, and that's what we begin to chase after. Verse 16, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will have life and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess." You say, what does He mean, bow down to other gods? We don't have other gods. We don't have little idols that we bow down to today, but we do. Because everything seems like takes precedence over God and walking with God and living with God and seeking God and doing the things of God, that God has pushed out by our busyness, by our, what we find so important. You say, Pete, I love Jesus with all my heart. Okay. But do you reflect that in the life you live? See, because it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to live it. It's another thing that your wife sees it, that your children see it, that your family sees it, by the way that you live. I'm really trying to be careful with how I say this because I want it to be come out the right way, okay? When I was young, I went to children's church. And I remember going to church quite a bit, but not all the time. When I became a teenager, the only time I went to church was when I stayed the night with one particular friend and we'd camp out and everything, and his family required, no matter what, you had to go to church. And that was really the only time I went to church as a teenager, was when I was with my buddies and their parents made us. But when I gave my life to Jesus, nobody had to tell me to come. I was here. Every time the door opened, I was here. And nobody had to poke and prod and beg me. I was just here. I wanted to be here. I've told y'all this story before, but I'll tell it again because I'm getting old and that's what I do. But when Crystal was in college, one of her classes, I don't remember the whole setting, but they was asking everybody, what do you do for fun? And she said, go to church. And she said, everybody looked at her like she was crazy. Going to church was fun? What? That's what you do for fun? But you know what? I enjoy being here. I enjoy being with all y'all. And through the years, we've had different times when we played volleyball together and fellowship dinners when Jim West was here. And we would cook, it seemed like, every other week and had fellowship. And I enjoy that. And nobody has to make me come. But y'all, how many of us, our desires of the world and our desires of the things of the world and what the world's asking us to do, and that's what our life is led into, so that church has just become a burden and a back burner, and if I can make it, I'll make it, and if I can't, I can't. No big deal. I'm not trying to bring condemnation upon anybody. I'm going on vacation in 2 weeks, and I'm going to be gone. So y'all can throw stones at me, okay? I'm not trying. But what I'm saying is, it ain't just the church. Boy, that's good English, isn't it? Ain't just. It isn't just coming to church. But it's seeking God daily. It's making time for Him. It's loving Him by being obedient to what He's placed in front of you. See, today I set before you life and death. Which are you choosing? Which are you choosing in your daily walk? Verse 19 says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Oh, now wait a minute, huh? Now you're talking about my kids. See, there's a difference in me anyway when you're talking about my kids. Because I love my kids more than I love myself. I do. And there's a difference when you're saying, okay, if you're obedient, it's not only going to help you, but it's going to help your children. Is that making sense to anybody this morning? See, that's the promise right there. Are you going to obey so that it trickles down to your children? See, if I smash my finger, if something happens to me, I'm grouchy a little bit. When my kids are hurting, man, it rips your heart out. You'd do anything you could to take away their pain. You'd do anything you could to help them. And here he's saying, so that you and your children may live. I want my children to live. And you know what? I want your children to live, and I want you to live. So today, are you going to choose? Verse 20 says, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. That's where it is, church. It's listening to His voice, and it's holding fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's so significant right there. For the Lord is your life. I used to see these bumper stickers and things like that. I don't really pay that much attention to anymore, but like football is life or baseball is life. Have y'all ever seen those bumper stickers or they'll be, and you know what? That's really true for so many. Football is their life, or baseball is their life, or basketball is their life, or sports is their life, or making money is their life, or whatever is their life. But for the Lord is your life. And can I ask you this morning, is the Lord really your life? I mean, really, really, really your life? Or is it earning more money, doing better in the stock market, you know, providing or you know, fun and games and vacations and toys? And what is really your life? Do you want it to go well with you and your children? We got to begin to obey God. We got to begin to seek Him. Proverbs 27:20, verse 7, it says, "The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him." The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Have I led a blameless life? Not up to now. But how awesome would that be if from this day on, I really, really began to listen to God's voice and did everything in my power, obeying the Holy Spirit, to lead that blameless life so that my children would see that, so that my children would be blessed. In Psalm 78, dads, listen. Wake up. Psalm 78, 5 through 8, it says, He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. You hear what that's saying? That men teach your children so that even the children yet to be born would keep your decrees and keep your commands. Verse 8, they would not be like their forefathers, stubborn and rebellious generations whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. And I told Crystal, this Psalm 78, I don't want to read the whole chapter, but I encourage you, go home and read it. It's just so good. And I could have read the whole thing, but how many of us are truly teaching our children so that it will affect the next generation and the next generation and the next generation? We're commanded to teach them so that they will not be rebellious, so that they will not turn away. Are we teaching our children in good times? Yeah, it's easy when blessings, when everything's good, life's great. Are we teaching them in bad times? When the car breaks down and the mower won't start and the, you know, you're mowing in the dark. It's easy when things are going good, but kids are looking at your life when things are going bad too. Are you praying? Are you on your knees? Are you crying out? Are you coming to Him, all you are weary and burdened, and seeking Him for rest? When we are sifted, do we seek God? Some of you being sifted right now in your lives, you're having problems that we don't know about. You're having problems that only God knows, and Satan is sifting you. Why? Because he's trying to destroy you. So what do? We run to God. Our kids see that. Our kids see what you're doing. Our kids see whether we're seeking God through everything. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 17. Philippians 3:17, it says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." Y'all, I think that's never been more true than today, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Dads, everyone, what's your mind on most of the time? Is it earthly things or is it things of God? But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled Him to bring everything under His control would transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. And the reason why I said this, or wanted to read this, is because join with others in following my example. How many of you right now could say, I'm setting the example for my wife, I'm setting the example for my kids, I'm setting the example for my coworkers. They see Jesus in me. And if you can't say that, then you need to, from this moment on, repent and ask God to forgive you and begin to obey. Because believe it or not, your kids are watching. Your kids are listening. Your kids are following your example. Whether it's a good example or a bad example, your kids are following. I don't remember why, but my dad was telling this story the other day. And this was years and years ago when I was a little boy. And I guess something had happened and he cussed. And he said, I was a little boy, and he said, I stomped my foot, and I cussed just like him. I was following my dad's example. I was seeing what he was doing. Now, I'm not throwing my dad under the bus. We've all done things that our kids, we see them acting like us and doing just like us. Your kids are watching what you're doing, and they're following your example, and they're repeating the words you're repeating, and they're doing what you're doing. And you know, I think Jeremy's talked about this before, how Grayson, is it a little weed eater and stuff that he has? And Hayden was the same way when he was little. And you know, the little boys, what do? They want to be like Dad, and they got their little weed eaters, or they got their little fake mowers, and they're following around and doing what Dad does. And I remember Hayden had a tool bench that he had, a little Craftsman tool bench, because he'd work on them tools. And why? Because they're following our example. So they're following your example when they see you opening up your Bible and reading it, when they see you praying, when they see you coming to church, when they see you, whatever the circumstance is, they're following your example. And you don't have to many times even say anything. They're watching your life. There's a country song, and it came to my mind, I'm sorry, but it kept going and kept going. So it's from probably 12, 15 years ago. But it says, walk a little straighter, Daddy, you're leading me. And it's the story is about a dad that's a drunk and stumbling and bumbling, the song says. And it's supposed to be the little boy telling his daddy, walk a little straighter. And he's embarrassed when his dad comes to his graduation. And at the end of his life, his dad's still doing that, but he says, one thing my dad taught me was to never be like him with his kids. That's sad. I don't want to be that kind of dad. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. I want to set the example, and I'm not where Paul's at, say, follow me. Do what I do. But I want to get there. Because today God set before you and set before me life and death, blessings and curses. Now what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to chase after the world, to live as an enemy of the cross? Chasing after the world, chasing after the flesh, chasing after the desires of the flesh? Or are you going to at this moment say, God, those desires are so strong and I'm tired of it, so I'm running to You to seek refuge. I'm running to You to change my life. I surrender everything to You. For the Lord has set before us life and death today. Are you the leader? Are you the husband? Are you the man of God that God's called you to be? I think we have some great men of God here at this church. But we need more. We need more. When you look at the statistics of incarceration, of dropouts, of drug use, almost everyone that they have in common is they don't have a dad in their life. It skyrockets. Today, you can affect your whole family, men or women. There's verses for women, but today I picked on the women a few weeks ago for Mother's Day. I'm picking on the men today. You can affect your grandchildren that you don't even know their names yet. Your great-grandchildren that you'll never meet will someday maybe be in heaven and come and shake your hand, hug your neck, and say, thank you, because you changed our family. You changed everything about our family by being faithful, by being obedient. And my dad or my grandpa and then my dad and then me, we all followed my example. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, all You're doing in this church and in our lives. And Father, I know that there's some hurting here this morning. I know there's some this morning that feel like they've just been sifted by Satan. Father, I pray right now for peace, and I pray that whatever their burden is, that they'd lay it at Your feet. And Lord, for the men in this church that maybe are feeling that sifting right now, and maybe they're just too proud, too arrogant, they think they can handle it, Father, that right now that they would run to You, and that we would all be the godly examples that You've called us to be. Men and women alike, that we'd be the godly examples in our workplaces, in our homes, in our church. And that we'd no longer look at reading our Bible or reading a devotional or getting on our knees and praying or coming to this building to gather together as a burden, but we'd look at it as a privilege of getting to meet with our Maker. Getting to meet with our great Physician who's there to and will never leave us and never forsake us. Lord, before we leave this room today, I pray that everybody here would make a commitment to choose life and to obey. To choose life and to seek You so that all that see us might see the difference. Lord, that we would just be willing to follow You. May Your Holy Spirit do a work now in every life here. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Once and for all. I am thankful for all the dads here today. You're leading your families and being godly men. And I just I hope you are encouraged this morning to keep it up. Whether life's good or you're being sifted, don't stop. Keep seeking the Lord. And Amanda got us some great gifts here. Somebody asked me the other day, what are you getting? I said, I don't know. Amanda keeps it for me too. She likes to surprise me too. So, but if your dad's here, will you come and get a gift and hand it to him? I want to ask y'all one more thing. Whether your dad is alive or not, whether you have a husband or a man in your life or not, I ask that you'd pray for the men that you see here today. Pray that they'd stand up and they'd be courageous and they'd be the men that God's called them to be. I can tell when people's praying for me. I need your prayers, and these men, as strong as some of them are, they need your prayers. And so I ask that you'd lift us all up in your prayers, and church, be lifting each other up. And if you're going through something, run to Jesus and run to your church family so we can help if we can. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Enjoy your Father's Day.